Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, I got Karen Campbell with us from Grief and Healing Connections. Good afternoon, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So, kind of a unique guest. We've never really talked about the grief counseling on the show, so look forward to this. So, who should reach out to you for grief counseling? What type of events cause someone to reach out to you?
So, grief counseling is appropriate for anyone who's experiencing a loss. There's never a time frame for loss, and losses are not limited to loss from death. You know, someone who's experiencing major transition in their life is experiencing loss, friendships that end, divorces, pet loss is a very critical loss. So anybody who feels that they're really missing something or they're having a hard time processing or just want to tell their story.
It is interesting because a lot of times we think of grief, we think of death. But like you said, mm-hmm. it could be, you know, losing a friendship. You know, that happens to a lot of people. All of a sudden, a 20-year friendship comes to an end, and people really don't know how to process that. So that's all the
right.
reasons
and
why.
It, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they have a right to grieve all these losses. You know, they just kind of take it in and say, okay, well, I have to move on now. But you have a right to process and to tell your story and honor your loss. There's a lot of different conversations that can happen when you're processing that. I've done a lot of work in the elderly population that they've had to, change their lifestyle and move, say, into senior housing. Well, there's so many losses connected to that. They've lost touch with their neighbors, or they've had to move far away to live with adult children. So many different losses, loss of independence, loss of driving, loss of their social connections.
So is there such a thing as a typical session? What happens when someone comes for grief counseling? What should they expect?
So we talk. We talk about what's going on now, what's led up to this, what are realistic expectations. And what I can offer, too, is my experience with different types of grief, different types of people, their grief. I have a background in mental health counseling, so I can help to the person to identify what's grief, what's depression, what needs more therapy. So a typical session, the person comes in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, keep going.
What are the challenges?
Okay. Yeah.
So a typical session is really conversation without judgment. You know, it's a safe space to just talk. When you're talking to, say, a friend or a family member about your grief, sometimes you hold back because you're very conscious of this person's opinion or of their feelings, especially when there's grief in a family. When you come to a grief counselor, there's no judgment. Your grief is your grief. And I'm not going to say to you, well, that's not as bad as so-and-so's, because it's your grief. It's not here to be judged.
Yeah, I see that a lot, is that we can often pass judgment on people. I see this, unfortunately, when you lose your spouse. You know, everyone has their what you think an acceptable grief period. And, God forbid someone starts seeing someone, before whatever you think that grief period is, whether it's a year, whatever it may be. Like, oh, my God, her spouse just died 6 months ago, and I saw her having dinner with somebody. Everyone grieves their own way, and there's no time limit on it, right?
It is so important to recognize that. I wish we were more supportive than we are judgmental, right? So when you're talking about loss of a spouse, in most cases, you're going to grieve for that person the rest of your life, right? But at the same time, you have a right to live. So it's finding that balance. How do you still honor that person that you once loved or still love, but no longer have physically, and continue having a life? And so support is important. It really is, to find out how you can continue on living, how to find that balance, and how to deal with the judgment. I can tell you, I've had many support groups that I have facilitated, and I absolutely enjoyed my loss of spouse groups because they're so honest, and we have a lot of laughs because they get each other, and they share a lot, and they just have so many similar experiences.
I think it's really important to seek out grief counseling, because mm-hmm. I've just had people in my life that have had, you know, things happen to them, and they're struggling to let go. And you see it hurting other relationships, where every time
right.
you see that person, they bring up their loss. And it's like, I'm really sorry, but I don't know what else to say or do. So
right.
you see them losing other friendships over it, like, oh, geez, you know, going to stay away from her because, you know, she's just going to talk to you about what happened. And I'm sorry, Karen, but, you know, I don't know how else to process this with you. So just
That's
to
right.
see somebody who's neutral, like you said, maybe I don't want to say this to you, you know, so to see someone neutral must be a big step in the healing process, right?
Yeah, I think it is. And people usually don't have much training in their own grief. How can you even plan how you're going to grieve the loss of a spouse or the loss of a parent, the loss of a loved one? So when you come to grief counseling, it's an educational experience as well. We talk about, you know, what are reasonable expectations? What are reasonable expectations of the people around you? Who can you count on for support? Some people have unrealistic expectations of how others will react to them. So in grief counseling, we have those conversations about, you know, well, this person reacted to me this way. I should be offended. And we talk about, well, why should you be offended? How did you expect this person to react compared to your typical relationship with them? So many people find comfort in just learning about the grief process.
So talk to me a little bit about your background.
So my background with grief counseling?
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. I had a lot of losses in my life, and I could have benefited from grief counseling as a young child. And so I went the typical route, high school, college, went into business. Fortunately, I had the opportunity to stay home with my children and found a lot of meaning in that. And I decided that to go back into the workforce, I would have to do something that was meaningful. And a lot of processing about that. And I just decided I wanted to help others, especially in the area of grief. And I have a great respect for hospice. So I went back to college to get my graduate degree in mental health counseling. I interned with hospice, and I became a grief counselor. And so with hospice, I visited with families, with the dying and the grieving. I offered bereavement support after the death of the patients, and I also facilitated grief drop-in support groups throughout the community. And I would facilitate maybe 10 groups a month. And in my community work, I experienced many different types of grief. Right now, unfortunately, a lot of grief around the opioid crisis. A lot of bereaved parents.
Unfortunately, sure is.
Yeah. And that's tough. But I feel very honored and privileged to be able to connect with people who are grieving and to provide education and support and, you know, just be with them and bear witness to their journey.
It's amazing to me, people like you who do the work you do, because you have to have such compassion, but find a way to kind of compartmentalize it, if you will, because unfortunately, as you meet a lot of people at the end of their life, you know, it's like, how do you counsel them and be able to keep your feelings separate because you know the person unfortunately is leaving the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That to me seems to be super tricky.
Well, it is. I think that I was able to process because I was in my 40s when I went back for graduate work. I don't think I would have fared as well in my 20s, but I had more life experience behind me. And I think, I don't want to get into religion, but I think your spirituality makes a big difference, that you need to know who you are and be grounded in your belief system before you can really be there for others in those delicate times. I have a great faith in what happens when we die. So that's comforting to me. It's an honor to be with people.
Yeah, necessary.
Yeah. It comes down to the golden rule, too. I would want somebody to be there for me, so I'm there for them.
Nicely said. So let's change subjects for the last couple of minutes of the show. Let's
sure.
talk a little bit about Reiki. What is Reiki?
Oh, Reiki's great. Reiki is great. Reiki is basically the laying of the hands. You know, we always hear that expression. But a person who is trained in Reiki, who is attuned by a Reiki master, will practice Reiki on someone. What happens is the person who is attuned is tapped into the universal life force, the energy that's all around us. So when they practice Reiki on the other person, this energy flows through the Reiki master or Reiki practitioner and helps to unblock healing in the client. So it's really just energy healing. And this energy healing helps to unblock what's preventing you from healing, either physically, mentally, spiritually. It's very soothing. In my own practice, I have found that it helps with grief. I have some veterans that come to me who have experienced relief. Even if it's just, for a few days, they have the Reiki session. It calms them. It relaxes them. They sleep better. Reiki can never hurt, so it's worth trying.
I have a number of friends who swear by Reiki. They just feel that they've received so many benefits from it. How long does a typical session last?
So I have 60 and 90 minutes. If somebody calls me up and says, hey, I'm on my lunch, I can only do 30. Okay, we'll do 30. You can be seated. You can lay on the table. There is a method to do Reiki through distance, which is a little complicated to explain in a brief call, but it is possible. So, however, whatever time you have for Reiki, try it.
So talk to me about REAP. That's something new to me. I've never heard of that one before. What's that?
It was something new to me as well. It was developed by Pam DeSalt, and she's a part of Dragonfly Wellness Center, which is where my office is. REAP is energy healing. It's no touch. So it can be done, person to person in the office or, through Skype, through the phone. And what it is really is a conversation, and during this conversation, you're connecting with this person energetically, and you're activating healing throughout systems in the body. So we're familiar with the chakra system. Now you see the posters at the yoga studio and meditation that tells you the 7 chakras. Well, REAP is similar to activating energy in the chakras and a few other centers. It's very soothing. And again, does no harm.
So, Karen, we got about 45 seconds left. So why don't we grab your contact information before we let you go?
Oh, sure. Hey, so to call me with any questions or to set up an appointment, it's 978-866-0593. And I can be reached at griefhealingconnections@gmail.com. And
Karen,
if you
really
just have a question,
you taking the time.
Hey, thank you.
I appreciate you taking the time out of the day to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend. Bye now.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep. Have a good day.